daf is Megillah daf Chaf Gimel. We left off on the bottom of daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis. So we're going to continue the discussions about how many aliyos we lay in different occasions on weekdays and on Shabbos and Yantif and Yom Kippur. And the Gemara is going to have three different shitos about how many aliyos we lay in and whether you're allowed to be mosif to the aliyos on Yom Kippur and Shabbos specifically. And then we're going to discuss how it is, why it is rather that we lay in specifically three on Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbos afternoons. Why specifically five on Yantif? Why specifically seven on Shabbos? What is the value, or what is the meaning, the significance of those numbers, 3, 5, and 7? Gemara is going to discuss what the meaning and the significance of the number 6 for Yom Kippur is as well. And then we're going to talk about who's mitzaref to the number of kruim, to the number of aliyos that we have. Can a katan get an aliyah? Can an isha get an aliyah? Is the maftir, does the maftir count as one of the olim? And then Amud Beis, pretty much the entire Amud Beis, we dedicated the Mishnah as a long list of 10 things that you need a minyan for. 10 things that you can't do without asara, without a minyan of 10 people. And we're going to discuss the sources for those items. How do we know that those 10 items require a minyan? We left off, though, on the bottom of Daf Chaf Beis on Beis, toward the bottom of Chaf Beis on Beis, in the second wide line. Tana Rabbanan. So we're talking about different types of bowing, since we had mentioned that a story about Rav going to Bavel once on the Tainus Tibur, and everyone else, Kuli Alma and Payu, Nafal Kuli Alma and Payu, everyone fell on their face except for Rav. Rav lo Nafal Ape. He didn't go down on his face. So the Gemara discussed why it is that he did differently than everybody else. And we spoke a little bit about bowing on a stone floor. So in that context, the Gemara mentions, once we're talking about bowing, Tana Rabbanan, we have a Braisa. Kida al Apayim. There are a lot of different words that the Torah uses that we would translate in English as bow, but they actually mean very different things. When we talk about kida, that means one's face is to the ground, that he goes down with his face directly on the ground. Shneemar vatiko basheva apayim aretz, that basheva's apayim aretz is described as vatiko, as a lashon of kida. So that's how we see that kida is al apayim. That's how Rashi explains apayim aretza is apayim aretz. So you see that it's dafka the face on the ground. Tosus points out, it's not from this pasuk that we learn that it has to be dafka on the face. There's also a pasuk that uses the lashon of ishtachava when it talks about a face on the ground. So it can't only be from the pasuk that the pasuk describes kida as face to the ground. Ishtachava is also described as face to the ground. You have to say that there was some sort of tradition that kida means alapayim, but not that it's that it's a real limud from the pasuk. Kriya, back in the Gemara, kriya al birkayim. When we talk about korea, that means that one goes down on their knees. V'cheinu amar mechra al birkav. Hishtachava'a, when we talk about hishtachava'a, zu pishut yadayim v'raglayim. That's not just going down on the knees and on the face, but that's completely prostrating oneself, spreading out hands and feet. Shenemar, havo navo, ani vimcha v'achicha lishtachvascha arza. Yaakov says to Yosef, do you think your dreams could possibly ever come true? You think me and your mother and your brothers are going to come and bow to you on the ground? But it's Arza, it's on the ground, implying Kulo Shatuach Arza, Rashi points out, that the whole body is spread out across the ground. Levi Achvi Kida Kame de Rebbe. Levi was demonstrating how to do Kida in front of Rebbe once, V'itla, and he became crippled by demonstrating the Kida. Frakta Gemara V'Hakko Garmalei. Is that what caused Levi to become crippled? We know that Levi became crippled, but is that what caused it? V'amar Rav Lazar Lolo Mal Yetiach Adam Dvarim Klape Mala, Shari Adam Gadol Yetiach Dvarim Klape Mala, V'itla Umanu Levi. But didn't we learn that the lesson we draw from Levi's story is that a person shouldn't speak with chutzpah toward the Ribbono Shel Olam, because Levi spoke with a certain level of chutzpah toward the Ribbono Shel Olam, and as a result of speaking with chutzpah toward the Ribbono Shel Olam, he became crippled. So you see that it wasn't because he was demonstrating how to do kida. He became crippled because he's of the way he spoke to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Answers the Gemara, Hava ha garmalei. Both of those were contributing factors into how Levi became crippled. It was both because of the fact that he spoke with chutzpah toward the Ribbono Shel Olam in the story of Maseches Tainis, where he accuses the Ribbono Shel Olam of not being mashkiach al banecha, of not paying any attention to his children, and because of the fact that he demonstrated kida. The pashtus is that it was an onesh for the speaking with chutzpah toward the Ribbono Shel Olam, but the way that it happened, bederech hateva, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just cripple him out of nowhere was when he was doing something dangerous. That's when he was in a vulnerable position, and that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried out that onesh of punishing him to do the to become crippled. Amar Rav Chiya bar Avin, Chazinu luhu la'abai v'rava dematzli atzluye. So Rav Chiya bar Avin reports that he saw Maisa Rav, he saw Abaye and Rava, that they would both lean over to the side. What's this talking about? So we had said yesterday, and when we were trying to explain Rav's behavior, why it is that Rav didn't bow, whenever didn't go down on his face when everyone else was going down on his face. So the third explanation we had for Rav's behavior was that Adam Chashuv Shaini, that an Adam Chashuv shouldn't go straight down on his face. So the Gemara reports that Abaye and Rava were obviously concerned about that, and therefore they didn't go straight down. Matzli Atzluye, they weren't Nofel Al Pneim Mamish, they would lean to the side a little bit when they would bow, because an Adam Chashuv is not allowed to bow directly straight on his face. Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, Sif Aleph, that when one is nofel al apav, one does nefilas apayim, he should go litzad small. It should be tilted a little bit toward the left side, that you don't go straight down, because based on this idea of matzli atzliye, the Rama writes, it's dafka, if he doesn't have tefillin, that you go litzad small. If you have tefillin on your left hand, then you go litzad yamin, but you always go litzad. Magen Avraham says that you should be mafsik beged also, that you shouldn't be, your face shouldn't be facing directly across from the floor, you should have some sort of beged covering your face. So Prim Gadim just wonders, why do you need a beged if the nefilah is not on the karka? The whole purpose of the beged is when your face is directly down on the ground. I mean, is a dafka a beged? Can you put your head on the table and say tachton? Why would it be any different? Or if you have the distance of space, you're not going all the way down to the ground, that l'chora should have been enough. But whatever it is, that's the minig. The minig is that we're mafsik with a beged, and that we lean a little bit to the side. B'yomtov chamisha b'yom kippurim shisha. The very top of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. B'yomtov chamisha b'yom kippurim shisha. So we had mentioned that on Yom Tov we lean 5 aliyos, and Yom Kippur there are 6 aliyos. Masnis and Mani. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yishmael v'lo Rabbi Akiva. Doesn't seem to fit with any of the known opinions that we have. The opinions of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, neither of them seem to fit with our Mishnah. Why? What do Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva say? D'tanya, we have a brisa. B'yomtov chamisha b'yom Kippurim Shisha B'Shabbos Shiva, that on Yom Tov we learn 5 Aliyos, Yom Kippur 6 Aliyos, Shabbos 7 Aliyos. That sounds good so far. Ein pochsin mehen ve'ein mosifin alein divrei Rabbi Shmuel. But Rabbi Shmuel changes from the sheet of our Mishnah and says you're not allowed to do any less, nor are you allowed to do any more. That we're not allowed to add to the 7 olim. So that doesn't fit exactly with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said we are allowed to add at least on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva's sheet is entirely different. That Yom Tov Chamisha, but it'll be Yom Kippurim Shiva ube Shabbos Shisha. That in Yom Kippur there are 7 Olim, and on Shabbos there are only 6. Ein pochsin mehen aval mosifin alein. He's aligned with the Mishnah when he says you're allowed to add to them, but he's not aligned with the Mishnah in terms of how many we lain on Yom Kippur and on Shabbos. He flips Yom Kippurim for Shabbos. Tzuri Evan explains, he says, what would possibly be the svara for Rabbi Akiva? Meaning, we explained previously the reason you lain more aliyos on Shabbos than you do on Yom Kippur is called the Tafilei Milsa. Anytime you have more, you have something extra about the day, we add an extra aliyah. So Yom Kippur is a chiv misa, it's a chiv kares, but Shabbos is misa b'day adam. Shabbos even chayv is skila. It's not just kares. So Shabbos is more, it's more intense, and therefore there should be another aliyah. Why is it that Rabbi Kiva says the reverse? So the Tori Evan writes, probably because in Yom Kippur there's tefilas ne'ila. There's no tefilas ne'ila on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And we had that svara as well, that by when we're discussing Tainas Tzibur, that maybe Tainas Tzibur, because we're Mosif Petfila, there's no Musaf, but there's Musaf Tfila, which Rashi said means Anenu, we add something to the Tfila, maybe that's a reason to add another Aliyah as well, and that's within a Shmona Esrei, by Ni'ila, we're actually adding an entire Tfila, we're adding a whole new Shmona Esrei, so maybe that's the Svara for Rabbi Kiva. But Tzuri Evan just points out that it sounds that we always add something extra the Gemara said previously, whenever a day has something above another day, we always add something extra. So why would Yom Kippur, so I understand, Yom Kippur has something above Yontif, let's say. What does it have above Yontif? That it has a tefillah of Ne'ilah. But why would it jump to above Yontif? Meaning Shabbos has something over Yom Kippur also. Shabbos has Nisuskila. So why would you knock Shabbos down to 6 and Yom Kippur up to 7? So you have to say that Rabbi Kiva is not mechalik between Kares and Skila. He thinks Misa is Misa, and he's not going to be mechalik between whether there's a Chi of Kares or a Chi of Skila. So he's only looking at this extra factor of the tefillas ne'ila. money, so who could the author of our Mishnah be? E Rabbi Yishmael Kashat Tosefes. If the author of our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yishmael, well then you have a problem with Rabbi Yishmael's statement that we're never allowed to be Mosif. The Mishnah said you are allowed to be Mosif. E Rabbi Akiva Kashat Shisha V'Shiva. And if our Mishnah were going like Rabbi Akiva, well then the numbers just don't work out. Rabbi Akiva said that we lay 6 on Shabbos and not 7. 7 on Yom Kippur and not 6. So Amar Rava Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael. It's a third Tana. It's the sheet of Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael B'Yom Tov Chamisha, B'Yom HaKippurim Shisha, B'Shabbos Shiva, Ein Pochsin Men, Avol Mosifna, Le'an Diver Rabbi Yishmael, the Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael, torn in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, that we do exactly like our Mishnah says, 5 on Yantiv, 6 on Yom Kippur, 7 on Shabbos, and you're allowed to make Hosafos on Shabbos. So Frek the Gemara, but wait a second, so who's the Machlokas between? We have a three-way Machlokas between Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael, and Rabbi Yishmael. How does Rabbi Yishmael get two votes in the Machlokas that go against each other? Kashad Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yishmael. It's a stira in Rabbi Yishmael. Answers Gemara, Trey Tanaya, Libid Rabbi Yishmael. Not a stira, a machlokas. Machlokas, what Rabbi Yishmael said. It's Trey Tanaya, Libid Rabbi Yishmael. Man Tana Lahad Tanya, V'yom Tov Ma'achrin Lavo U'mimarin Latzeis. Who's the author of the Braisa that tells us that on Yom Tov we come late to Shul? Not that we come late to Shul, we begin Shul late. The starting time for davening is a little bit later than it would normally be on a weekday. And Mimarin Latzeis. And we leave Shul early. We make sure that we don't stay in Shul too long to not have time to have a proper meal, because on Yantiv we have to have a Sudas Yantiv. So we're Mimarin Latzeis for Simchas Yantiv. We have to make sure that we get home to be able to have a meal for Yantiv. Why are we Ma'achrin Lava? Why do we start later on Yantiv? So Rashi writes, B'yom Tov Ma'achrin Lava L'Beis HaKnesses Shetzarech L'Teroach B'Sudas Yom Tov Kach Mefurish B'Masech HaSofrim. Because on Yantiv you're allowed to prepare the meal of Yantiv, so you need time to be Torech B'Sudas Yantiv. When are you going to do that? You're going to do that before you show up to Shul, before you come to Shul. So we need the time. It's not that we wake up late. You wake up regular time. But now you have extra time in the morning to be able to prepare the Sudas Yantiv before coming to Shul in the morning. That's how Rashi writes. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, his Hagos in the back of the Gemara, says, well, wait a second. That explains why the women would come late to Shul on Yantiv. The men aren't preparing the Suda. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, yeah, but who's watching the kids while the women are preparing the Suda? Who's setting the table while the women are preparing? Who's cleaning the house while the women are preparing the Suda? Mistama, the men are doing that. So the men need to be helping out as well. If they want to prepare the Suda Gzantait, so then the women will watch the kids, but they have to be doing something at home. They have to be helping out as well. The Prima Gadim just raises the question, Neshal Avram and Simon Peites. He says, wait a second, there's a halacha psuka in Shulchan Aruch that a person is not allowed to be osik betrachav kodem sheyispal. The person is not allowed to be busy doing things before you daven. You're not supposed to be involved in chores and the like before one daven. So how is the Gemara set an expectation that a person is supposed to be toreach b'sudas yom tov before davening? That seems to be something that would be osik b'tzrachav before davening. So he says, you see from here that anything that's l'dvar mitzvah, you're mutter to do, it's mutter to do before davening. And he says, therefore, if a person needs to go shopping on Erev Shabbos, and the best time to go shopping where you're not going to run into crowds and you'll be able to get it done, you'll be able to, is before davening, early in the morning, so then you're allowed to do that before davening. Mishnah Berurah quotes this in Siman Reish Nun, Sifkat and Aleph, that one is allowed, even though generally speaking, you're not supposed to do things before davening. You're not supposed to do shopping and do all sorts of other tzrachim before davening. But if it's a dvar mitzvah, you're allowed to do it. And therefore, and this is just one example. Preparing the Sudas Yom Tov is just one example of a dvar mitzvah that we would do before davening. So that's on Yantiv. So on Yantiv, we come late to we start shul late because you're. I keep saying come late to shul. No, we never come late to shul. We start shul late because you're busy preparing the meal. We make sure we end shul in a timely fashion, we end davening in a timely fashion, so people can have their Simchas Yantiv, their Suda when they get home. B'Yom HaKippurim Mimarin Lavo Ma'achron Latzos. In Yom Kippur, we should start Shul early because there's nothing to prepare. There's no food to prepare, obviously, and you could end Shul late because there's no reason to go home. You have nothing to do at home. You can't eat anywhere. There's no Simchas Yantiv. U'B'Shabbos Mimarin Lavo U'Mimarin Latzos. But on Shabbos, we start Shul early on Shabbos, because you can't prepare the Shabbos meal on Shabbos. Hopefully that's all prepared already from Erev Shabbos. But we're also Mimarin Latzos because you have to eat the Shabbos meal, and a person has to make sure that he gets home in time, in plenty of time to eat the Shabbos meal. So who is the author of this Braisa? Leimer Rabbi Akiva de Islay Gav Amri Yaseira? It must be. It's that we're assuming that Rabbi Akiva, who holds that on Yom Kippur we have Gavri Yaseira, that on Yom Kippur we call extra people to the Torah. We have seven Aliyos, and that's why Rabbi Akiva must be saying that we get out late on Yom Kippur from shul. Answers the Gemara: Afilu Tem Rabbi Shmuel the Nafish Sidura Diyoma. He said, no, this is going like Rabbi Shmuel. Do you ever look at the Yom Kippur davening? Forget about laning. People don't say, ah, Yom Kippur, the laning is just impossible. You know, if there was one more Aliyah, no one would know the difference. Yom Kippur is Chal and Shabbos. The laning you make up with the Avinu Malkeinu. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make an ounce of difference with the one extra Aliyah. But the point is that the tefillah is so much longer. There's so much more to daven. There's so much more to say. It's interesting. The Ramah quotes the idea of Nafesh Sidura Diyoma in connection to Shabbos. And he says, that's why we added so much into Pesukei Dezimra, and that's why we do Kelada and all this. Nafesh Sidura Diyoma. When the Gemara talks about Nafesh Sidura Diyoma, it's not about Shabbos. It's about Yom Kippur. But the Ramah, I guess, just borrows the expression. Okay, Hani Shlosha Chamisha V'Shiva Keneged Mi. Why is it that we have 3, 5, and 7 Aliyos? What do they correspond to? It's interesting because there aren't just 3, 5, and 7 Aliyos. There are also 4 Aliyos in certain days. There are also 6 Aliyos in certain days. So Tosus points out, Avu Mishisha Shal Yom HaKippurim Lo Bayad L'Kaman. Don't worry, we'll get to the 6. The 6 we'll discuss later on, a few lines from now in the Gemara. Bakasha, Amai Lo Bay Mi Dalet Shal Rosh Chodesh Keneged Mi. But it is strange that the Gemara doesn't ask what the 4 correspond to. V'chein shel chol shel moed. It also doesn't ask what the 4 of chol moed correspond to. So it says, tells the Yeshlomer to kimle the time of the musaf chashav l'tfuy chad gavra av l'tfuy kol kach b'yomtov b'yom ha'kipurim b'shabbos lo sfirile mishum kari suskila ilo mashkachim keneged mi. He said, Tosa says, we're working with the assumption that it's clear that if you're going to have a musaf, you're going to add an extra aliyah. Now that makes a lot of sense. But to add 2 aliyos for yantif and 3 more aliyos for Yom Kippur and 4 more aliyos for Shabbos. So granted, we have that sliding scale. Whenever you have more to do on a given day, you're going to add another aliyah, but that doesn't seem like enough of a svara to demand X number of aliyos, if not for some other source, some other significance to the numbers 5, 6, and 7. The number 4 alone, what we said before alone, is enough. That just you have a musaf, so that's a reason to add another aliyah. But to say that the fact that something's chayv kares and something's chayv skila, that should be enough to add extra aliyos, that alone would not have sufficed had we not had some other reason, some other significance to the numbers 5 and 7. The Ritva takes a different tone. The Ritva says, no, whatever we're about to say in the Gemara is not really the reason. The reason is what we said earlier, that any time you have something extra about the day, you add an extra aliyah. Over here, it's just if we have an opportunity and an ability to be sumich things on psukim and somehow relate things to psukim, so we like to connect it to a pasuk. It's more like a mnemonic. It's like an asmachta to remember that these numbers are significant when it comes to aliyahs. So, pligiber Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni v'chada amei. And as machlokas Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni and chada amei, umani Rav Shim ben Pazi. Who is the other person that he argued with? Rav Shim ben Pazi. V'amila Rav Shim ben Pazi v'chada amei umani Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni. Some say Rav Shim ben Pazi arguing with Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni that the shittos are reversed. V'amila Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. And some say Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Chada amar keneged birchas kohanim. One says it corresponds to the words in each pasuk of birchas kohanim, that the first pasuk of birchas kohanim is 3 words, second pasuk is 5 words, third pasuk is 7 words, and that's why it's 3, 5, and 7. And the other one says, no, it relates to the number of officers and guards by the king, that there are 3 Shomrei Asaf, 5 Meiroi Pnei HaMelech, and 7 actual Roi Pnei HaMelech. Tosus points out over here, Rashi points out that where are these 3, 5, and 7 guards that we're speaking of, where do we find that such a thing exists? So he says, you find it by the Sarei Paros Umadai, that by Achashverosh, that's how many officers he had in different capacities. So Tulsa says, what? That's what we're going to fashion our Kriyas HaTorah after? The officers in Achashverosh's court, in Achashverosh's palace. So it says Tulsa, Shivaro Pnei HaMelech, Pirush HaKuntros Da Achashverosh. Which Melech? Achashverosh. V'kasha Lomer Shetiknu Chacham Keneged Inyano Shalosa Rasha. Hard to understand why the Chacham would be misaking something that's patterned after how things worked for that Rasha. Now we know the Gra writes in this whole commentary of the Megillah, that every time it says HaMelech, it's also a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's possible that some of the ways that the Megillah chooses to describe things relating to Achashverosh are also patterned after something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds meaningful or think is valuable. L'kach pir, but Tosa says, no, it's still, it's Achashverosh, it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Achashverosh that it's talking about. How could it be that we pattern after Achashverosh? So he says, no, it's not Achashverosh. L'kach pir, Shabbat Tam, Osnak Suvim, Vesefer Yermio, Bimlachim, Ksiv, Hashem, Bir Shalmi, Mefarish, Hashnai, Shashnaim He says you look through in the Nevi'im, where the Nevi'im describe not by Melech HaChashverosh at all, that we're talking about. The 3, 5, and 7 are Bashamayim. That we're talking about the Sarim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has connected the Sarim down here in the Malchus of the Rikia up in Shamayim. That's what it has to be. It can't possibly be actually about Achashverosh. Okay, further. Tanya Rav Yosef Gimel Chamisha V'Shiva Shlosha Shomrei Asaf Chamisha Mirah Pnei HaMelech Shiva Roi Pnei HaMelech. Just like we just said, that the 3, 5, and 7 relate to the different officers serving different capacities. So when Rav Yosef taught this, Abaye was a Talmud of Rav Yosef, said, where have you been? You know, I've been dying to know what the 3, 5, and 7. How come you never told me that? It seems like something I should have learned in Yedios Klalios or something. I should have known this already. I didn't know you didn't know. If I would have known that you didn't know, I would have been happy to tell you. Have you ever asked me something and I just said, no, I don't want to share it with you? Of course I would have answered your question. You never asked me. If you would ask, I would tell you. So it's important to ask questions when we don't know. Amrle Yaakov Minal Rav Yehuda. So Yaakov Minal says Rav Yehuda, great, you just explained where 3, 5, and 7 come from, why we have those numbers of Aliyos, but Hani Shishut Yom HaKippurim Kenegan Mi. Why the number 6? Why 6 Aliyos specifically on Yom Kippur? Amrle Kenegan Shisha Shamdu Mi Yamino Shal Ezra V'Shisha Mismolo. The Psukim describes 6 people who stood to Ezra's right side and 6 on his left. Shenamra Vayamar Ezra Sofra Amigdal Eitz Asher Asulu Davar Vayamar Etzlo Matisya V'Shema V'Anoya V'Ur So if you say it really quickly, it sounds perfectly good. But says the Gemara, if you actually count it, Hani Shiva Havu. On the other side, on the second side, there were 7. On his left side, there were seven names on the list. So how can you say that the 6 relates to the 6 people on each side? There were 7 names. So Hainu Zecharia, Hainu Meshulam. Now Zecharia is Meshulam. They're the same person. Meshulam. Why is Zechariah referred to as Meshulam? The Mishlam Be'uvde, because he was considered to be Shalem in his Avodah. He was considered to be completely complete in his Avodah Hashem. Tamim B'ma'asav, Rashi says. So wait a second, if he was so Tamim B'ma'asav, why was he on Ezra's left side? Normally the way the Gemara assumes is that the Gadol is Be'emtsa, meaning the Rebbe is Be'emtsa, then the Gadol Mitalmidav is on his right side, and then the Katan Mitalmidav is on his left side. So you would imagine he should have been on the right side of Ezra. Why was he only on the left side of Ezra? So Chassam Sofer writes in the drasha that the smolo shel Ezra is keneged yemino shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore that was considered to be the more chashuv location. It wasn't Stam walking down the street. It was somehow in relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that standing lifnei Hashem. So that was on the yemin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Good. So the others say no. Adraba, you see, can you imagine how great the ones on his right side were? If Zechariah only made it to the left side, so the people on his right side must have been even greater. So Tan Rabbanan, Hakol Olam Naminyan Shiva Vafilu Katan Vafilu Isha. Anyone can count toward the 7 Aliyos, meaning can get an Aliyah that will count toward the 7 Aliyos, even a Katan and even an Isha. Avlo Amr Chacham Isha L'Tikur B'Torah Mnei Kavod Tzibur. But Chacham said a woman should not be kari from the Torah because of Kavod Tzibur, so we don't have a woman get an Aliyah. It's interesting, you'd expect the Gemara to say, and also a Katan, because of Kavod Tzibur. The Gemara doesn't say that. It says an Isha not, but it doesn't say anything about a Katan. So the Ran writes over here that what does it mean that they're Olam L'Minyan Shiva? That if you need a 7th Ola, so they count as a 7th Ola, but they can't all be Nashim U'Katanim. That, first of all, he assumes that the idea of Kavod Tzibur would apply to a Katan as well. But he says, you certainly wouldn't have all of them be Nashim U'Katanim. Me'iri quotes a Yesh Omrim that by every Kriya you need at least one Gadol, and that way you're Yotzei the Takaras Moshe Rabbeinu of Kriya Satora, done by a Gadol, and just to be Mashlim, the numbers, to hit the number 7, so then you're allowed to have an Isha and a Katan as well. Magen Avraham in Reish Pei Beis writes that you have to have the first 3 have to all be Gadolim, because that's the Ikra Kriya, because we always have a minimum of 3 Olim, so the first 3 all have to be Gadolim, and only after that we're gonna lower the credentials necessary necessary in order to get an aliyah. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that when we say that v'lomer chami isha lo tikra, he says the Gemara is careful to say mipnei kavanat tzibur. What the reason is that isha lo tikra is because of kavanat tzibur, so that you should realize that it's not meikara d'dina, meaning meikara din, the woman should be allowed to be aleh, and therefore if the choice is an isha or nobody, you take the isha rather than nobody. Meaning if you don't have enough people that are able to read, you don't have someone who's able to be aleh and to actually read from the Torah. This is going back when everyone who was aleh would read from the Torah. If you didn't have someone who was able to read from the Torah except for the isha, so then the isha would be able to be kore because you need to fill the zayin kruim. That's how Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes. Okay, bayiluhu maftir ma'u sheyala l'minyan shiva. What about the maftir? Does the maftir count as one of the seven? So Rafun Rabbi Yirmi bar Abba chadam or ola v'chadam or eno ola. So machlokas whether the maftir is ola, whether he counts or not. Tosos of your quotes are ben tam that we paskin commandi amar ola, that the maftir does count as one of the seven. What do you mean? Every Shabbos we lay in seven aliyos, then we lay in a maftir. Why? How do we say that we count the maftir as an ola? He says no. Don't think about Shabbos. Think about Tainis Tzibur. What do? We have the person who gets shlishi. He reads the haftar also. He's also the maftir. So obviously we paskin ola. Why on Shabbos do we lay in seven olim plus a maftir? Because we said mosif nalein on Shabbos you're allowed to be mosif. So we do a whole sefa every Shabbos, and that way we could satisfy both opinions. The one that says that the maftir is ola also holds you're allowed to be mosif. So there's nothing wrong with having a maftir getting an extra aliyah. So that's why we do that on Shabbos, because on Shabbos it's possible to satisfy all opinions. But on Tanis Tzibur, you're not allowed to add to the aliyos. So we have to pick a side. We have to decide, is the maftir going to be one of the three, or is he not going to be one of the three? And we paskin, he is one of the three. And that's why the guy who gets shlishi reads the maftir. That's what Rabbeinu Tam writes. Mandi Amar Ola Dahakari, the one that says that he counts as one of the Zayin Kruim, is because he does read from the Torah. Mandi Amar Eino Ola, the one that says he doesn't count as one of the Zayin Kruim, Kitu Ula, why is it that the maftir has to read from the Torah at all? Let him just read from the Navi. Why does he have to read from the Torah? Because of Kavod Torah. How is it Kavod Torah? It wouldn't be proper Kavod Torah if it looked like the Kavod Torah and the Kavod Navi was the same. That just like other people read from the Torah, he's reading from the Navi. So you say, no, there's no. He's not going to read from the Navi unless he first reads from the Torah. That he first has to read from the Torah, that shows that reading from the Torah is more valuable. But if the whole point is just because of Kavod Torah, so then he's not going to count as one of the seven olim if it's all for Kavod Torah. When we read Haftorah, the Haftorah has to have a minimum of 21 psukim, the Gemara says, because it corresponds to seven aliyos that we learn from the Torah, and just like each aliyah has to have a minimum of three psukim, so you have a minimum of 21 psukim in any parsha that you're going to read on Shabbos day, so to the Haftorah has to be a minimum of 21 psukim. But wait a second, if you hold you have seven plus a maftir, then shouldn't it be 24 psukim? I mean, if you hold the maftir is one of the minyan shiva, he's one of the seven, so I understand how you get the number 21, because you actually have 21 psukim in total that have to be read. But if the maftir is in addition to the seven, v'im isa, esrim varba havya, then we should have had a requirement for 24 psukim from the Haftorah. Sans gemara, kivin demishum kava Torah hu, kenegdo nami lo bayi. Since the whole point of the maftir is only because of kava Torah, they didn't feel it was necessary to be masakin extra psukim in the Navi, kenegid the maftir, if the whole reason the maftir is there in the first place is only for the sake of kava Torah. So they weren't masakin it as part of the Navi. Now Tosus on the bottom over here has a lot of very important comments. Tosus first, and the big Tosus is Kasha, Lefimin Agenim Shonanogin, Bekal Shabbos Hashanah Shemaftir Choz Bekari Mashakar Arishonim Veren Kari Klal Acharkach Imkein Ma'ika Mashani Kibidim Mishim Kavad Torah Kenegadu Nami Lobiinan. Tosus says, I don't understand the Gemara's answer. Why is it that we don't have an extra three Pesukim in the Haftorah Kenegad the Maftir? So the Gemara says, because it's only Mishim Kavad Torah. It should have said better. What do we do for Maftir? We repeat Pesukim we already read. Maybe that's why you don't have three extra psukim in the Haftorah, because there are no psukim that are specifically for the maftir. The maftir just repeats psukim that we've already read. So Tosfos says, I don't understand why the Gemara doesn't just say that we're repeating psukim. So kasha lama, why don't we say that as the reason? Elish shemaminas, says Tosfos, what you see from here is that in the days of the Tanaim, the maftir would read a new thing, something that we did not already read, and that's the implication of the Gemara, that that you have three extra psukim for his aliyah implies that it's that during his aliyah it's actually extra psukim. But that just flips the question around. So why did we change that minhag? Why don't we do that? Meaning, if that was the minhag in the days of the Tanaim, we don't just flippantly change things. So why would we go back and read the same psukim? So he says it must be that in the times of the Chachamim they didn't say Kaddish before the Maftir, and therefore the Maftir was the Mesayim of the Kriya. But once they decided to be Mesakin a Kaddish between those who read previously and the Maftir, just like Tosus compares it, just like the Takana that we have to say Baruch Hashem Liolam Amin V'Amein V'Yaru Einenu, and then after Hashkivenu, and then we say a Kaddish, so let it be known that Tfilas Arvus is Rishus, and that's why we're Mafsik with those paragraphs and the Kaddish. So too, they were Mesakin a Kaddish between the Shiva and the Maftir to show that the Maftir is not Miminyan HaShiva. So once we made that Kaddish, so then the Maftir is not going to go off and read his own thing. Then Tosus points out, Rav Rabbeinu Elio, Hinigas Bnei Iro, Shafil Kishamotzin, Shnei Sifrei Toros HaShalosh, Noeg Min Ezek, Sheyukru HaRishonim HaKol, Vamaftir Chozim HaKori. He says, unbelievable that some people even had a minhag, that even on days that they would take out two or three Sifrei Torah, the Maftir wouldn't read something new. All the original crew would read, and the Maftir would be Chozim HaKori, what the previous readers already read, and he says, that's Rabbeinu Meshulam was Noeg as well. So then Tosus asks a fundamental question. Why is it that on Yantav we take out two Sifrei Torah and not on Shabbos? Shouldn't we take out two Sifrei Torah on Shabbos? On Shabbos we lay in a Musaf, and in the Musaf we say the Psukim of the Musaf of Shabbos. So what do we do in the on Yantav for the Maftir? We say over the Parsha of the Karban of the Musaf of the Yantav. So why don't we say the same thing? Why don't we do the same thing every Shabbos? Take two Sifrei Torah and the second Sifrei Torah we should read. It'll be Yom HaShabbos, just like we do on Yantav. A very strong Kasha. So Tosfos says a number of answers. First of all, he says, because there's a problem with the Parsha of the Musaf of Shabbos, and we discussed it yesterday, there are only two Psukim. So you can't have an Ola read only to Psukim, and we're not going to start reading other passages that have nothing to do with anything, so it's not going to work. Second Tosa says, because you have to, the halacha is that whenever we lay an haftarah, it's always me'inyano shel yom, and we normally try to have it me'inyano shel yom, especially if there's a maftir, to be similar to the maftir. The haftarah should be similar to the theme of the maftir. So it would be so boring. Every single Shabbos we'd have the same haftarah, because it would always be patterned after the same maftir every single Shabbos. So he says that wasn't shayach, that wasn't something that we were going to do. 30 says it could be that liolam ein korim b'sefer Torah sheni b'karbanos elabos and shabon l'kapara. Maybe the only karbanos we're ever going to read from a second sefer Torah is karbanos that are meant to achieve kapara, whereas and the karbanos most apparently of Yontif are considered to achieve kapara. But the karbanos of Shabbos are not considered to be kapara, and therefore we're not going to take out a second sefer Torah. That's only for kapara that we take out the second sefer Torah. We wouldn't do it for anything short of that. Those are Tosfos different answers why we don't do this in Shabbos, but a very fundamental question, right? It's a question we should all have asked at some point. Okay, Maskevla Rava, top of Chav Gimel and Beis. Maskevla Rava, Vare Olosechem Safu Delav and Esrin V'Chad V'Karinan. Wait a second, the Gemara says, how can you tell me that every haftarah has to have a minimum of 21 psukim? I found one that doesn't. There's a haftarah from Yirmiyah Perek Zayin that doesn't have a Olosechem Safu Al Zivchechem V'Chuvasar, that doesn't have 21 psukim. Now, the truth is, just flip through your chumash. You'll find many, many, many haftarahs that don't have 21 psukim. So, shiny asam de salaginyana. The Gemara says, no, over there it's different. We couldn't have 21 psukim because the whole inyan, the whole topic was covered in less than 21 psukim. Ve'echad lo salaginyana lo, v'amra shobar abba zimna sagin avakim na kamed rabbi yachron v'kavakarin na sar psuki yarmalan avsiku. And even if it's not the end of an inyan, is it still true that you need, would you then need 21 psukim? He said, nah, ma'isa rav. Shobar abba said, a lot of times I would read the haftarah in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and as soon as I hit 10 psukim, he said, okay, enough already, let's move on. So he would stop me after 10 psukim. So makom sheish torgaman shiny. It's different when you have a torgaman. D'tanya rav tachlif bar shmuel l'shon al makom shein torgaman. Al makom sheish torgaman posek. That's only when there's no torgaman, but when there is a torgaman, then we stop early. You don't need to do 21 psukim. Not sure why. Apparently the minig is that we do less than 21 psukim, even though we don't have a torgaman anymore. But I guess we kept the same haftaras that they had when they had a torgaman. Didn't see much discussion about it. Didn't have a chance to look into it. Okay, new Mishnah. Ein parsonus. So now this Mishnah is just going to list 10 things that you need a minyan for that you can't do with pachos me'asara. Ein parson al shema. You're not allowed to be pores al shema. What does that mean to be pores al shema? So prusa always means a piece of something or like a half of something. So what does it mean pores al shema? Rashi explains minyan habal the beis haknesses the achar shakaru atzibur es shema. Omer echad va'omer kaddish ubarchu ubrachu rishon shabukriya shema. Someone comes late to Mariv. The tzibur already said shema, so he missed barchu and he missed the birchus kriya shema. So what does he do? He says kaddish and barchu and the first bracha of birchus kriya shema. So he gets it's a parson Rashi says lashon of chatzi davar that he's only catching half a thing. So that's what that is because he came late to shul. So he only caught half of what the tzibur was doing. So that's number one. That's in personal Shema. The Carbon Son raises the question we'll save that till the end. Vein over in the Fnei HaTeva. Second thing, you don't have a Shliach Tzibur with less than a minion. Vein Nosin Es Kapayim. The third thing, we don't have Kohanim Duchen with less than a minion. Nesias Kapayim is only if you have a minion. Now, L'chora, it should be obvious that Ein Nosin Es Kapayim because we just said Ein over in the Fnei HaTeva. When do Kohanim Duchen? They always do it during Chazar Sashatz. So if you don't have Chazar Sashatz less than a minion, Mimele, you don't have the Nesias Kapayim with less than a minion. Why does the Mishnah have to list that as a separate item on the list that you don't have the Nesias Kapayim with less than a minion? So it could be, this Fasema suggests that it could be that if it were permissible to be Nosei Kapayim with Pachas Me'asara, then every Kohen would be Mevarich La'am in his Tefillah B'Yachid if you weren't able to have a Chazar Sashatz. They would do it during the Tefillah Sayachid, but because they Nosei Kapayim Pachas Me'asara, then they never ever do it during Tefillah Sayachid. But the Pashtus is a more fundamental answer. The halacha in general is that whenever there's a davar shebe kedusha, you're allowed to be gomer a davar shebe kedusha as long as you started with asara. So if you started with a minion, you can continue, and even if the minion walks out, even if people walk out and you have less than a minion, you start chazar shatz, people walk out, we pass on the halacha, you're allowed to finish the chazar shatz, you're allowed to be gomer the inyan. Can you do nesias kapayim in that chazar shatz if people walked out? So pashas, that's what the Mishnah is telling me. That no, nesias kapayim is considered its own independent entity, and therefore to do nesias kapayim, even though you began Chazar Shatz with a minion, when you don't have a minion right now, would be a problem because that's considered starting something new. So that's the pashtus I would think of what the of why it has to say Einos Nes Kapayim. Vein Korim B'Torah. Fourth thing, we're not allowed to lane without a minion. Vein Maftir Benavi. We don't do Haftorah without a minion. And Veinos and Maimon Moshav when by the Beis Hakvaros where they would pause seven times and everyone would sit and they would get back up and do the seven ma'amados that's described in the Gemara. In a couple of places, in Babas and elsewhere. So you don't do that with less than a minion. Ve'in omrim birchas aveilim. They don't say the special birchas aveilim with less than a minion. The Gemara is going to explain that's the bracha berachov. We're not talking about the special bracha that you add into benching in the base avel, which a lot of people don't know about because it's not printed in most benchers. That's also halacha. There's a special bracha that you add into benching in the base avel. Rav Shechter's son told me that when he was in Avelis and he was benching, he took out a Shulchan Aruch because he couldn't find it in any of the benchers. So he just read the bracha from the Shulchan. But you don't. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about birchas avelim berachov, the special bracha for the avelim. V'tanchume avelim. We don't do the nichum avelim with less than a minion. So what does that mean? We don't do nichum avelim with less than a minion. You go to a beis avel and you see less than a minion there. You're not going to do nichum avelim. No, of course we do nichum avelim with less than a minion. This is talking about the nichum avelim of the tzibur. Nichum avelim is one of those unique mitzvos that has both the chovas hayachid and the chovas hatzibur. The chovas hayachid is done when we go pay a shivakol. The chovas hatzibur is done b'shura by the beis akvaros. If you have a minion, everyone lines up, the Avelim walk through the row, and everyone says Nichum Avelim at the same time. That's the Tzibur, that's representing the Tzibur in the Nichum Avelim. Or Birchas Chasanim, the special Birchas Chasanim, also not less than a minion. Vein Mezam B'Shem, Pachas Me'asara, and you also can't do a Zimun with the Shem Hashem if you don't have a minion. The obvious question the Karpin Asanel raises over here is that there's a critical item missing from this list of things that you need a minion for, and that is the Gemara said previously on that when you read Megillah Shalom Bezmana, you always need a minion. L'kuli alma ba'asara for Megillah Shalom Bezmana. And this is, after all, Maseches Megillah. So you would think that we wouldn't leave that off the list over here. So why isn't it mentioned on this list? So again, Pashtus is because Megillah is done often with less than a minion. Yeah, Megillah Shalom Bezmana, you need asara. But Megillah all the time is done with less than a minion. Or you could suggest that no, by Megillah it's a different din. It's a din in Prasumi Nisa. It's not a din in Dover Shabbat Kedusha. All of these items are dinim davar shebekdusha. Ubekarkos tisha v'kayin v'adam kiyotzeben. When it comes to evaluating karka, you need a minion, but one of the minion must be a kohen. And when it comes to evaluating the value of a person, also for hektish purposes, one you need a minion to do the evaluation, and one of them must be a kohen. So, frankly, where are minani mili? Where do we get this idea that a minion is an important thing? Amar b'chi barab amar b'yochanan damakra v'niktashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. The pasuk says v'niktashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, and we learn from there called davar shebekdusha lo yepach me'asara. Whenever you have a davar shebekdusha, you need a minimum of 10 people. My mashma, where do you see 10? The word 10 in that pasuk just says v'niktashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. It doesn't say anything about 10. So the Tani Reb Chiya asya toch toch. It does say something about 10 because the word b'soch appears in that pasuk, and toch appears elsewhere as well. K'sivacha v'niktashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael u'k'sivasam yibadlu mitoch ha'eda by Adas Korach. He bought the mitoch ha'eda va'asya eda eda, and the word eda is not only used by Adas Korach but also elsewhere. D'k'siv hasam and masay the eda ha'ra'azos by the meraglim. It talks about eda. So we learn if eda is used by meraglim, and we know that there are 10 meraglim that were the eda hara, and the word eda is used by Korach, and the word toch is used by Korach, and the word toch is used by Kiddush Hashem. So Kiddush Hashem needs 10 people. You need a minion for Kiddush Hashem. Malalam v'asarav kan v'asara. Just like you have a minion over there, you have a minion over here as well. The Yerushalmi learns it from the Bnei Yaakov when they went out to Mitzrayim. Vayavo Bnei Yisrael lishpor b'soch habayim. Not from the Meraglim. Sam Sofer says probably because the Yerushalmi understood how could you learn davar shebekdusha from an eda hara from the Meraglim that you're going to learn. That's going to be the source of a minion. But maybe that's exactly the point, that if you look at the koach of a minion, look at what 10 people who put their minds to something are able to do. Where this is a dafyomi coincidence, the Meraglim is the first terrible thing that happened on Tisha B'Av. That's when it became a day of Bechiel Ledoros because of the Cheda Meraglim. Look what they caused. A group of 10 people that had their minds set on doing something bad, and they caused Churban Shnei Bate Mikdash. They caused thousands of years of Jews in exile crying every single day on Tisha B'Av. So, and we know Midah Tov is Meruba Midas Pranus. So if you want to learn the power of Kiddush Hashem, look at the power of Chilul Hashem of the Meraglim, and you can see the Midah Tov and Meruba, the great power of Kiddush Hashem. Probably that's why we dafka want to learn from the Meraglim. Venos and Maimon Moshe Pachs Me'asara. Maimon Moshe has to be also with at least a minion. Kimin Dabai Lamemar Imdu Yikar Mamudu Shavu Yikar Meshuvu Vatsi Me'asara Lav Aruchara. Since part of the process is a Shliach Tzibur saying, precious ones, get up and sit, so you don't want to do that if it's not a significant group. It's you're only going to be a matriach that shliach tzibur to do it, and call people yikarim if it's a minion. Ve'inom birch savelim birch chasanim. My birch savelim. What is birch savelim? Birchas rechava. It's the bracha that they make out in the street. Dam Rav Yitzchak Rav Yochanan birch savelim basara. Ve'in avelim in a minion. The avelim don't count as part of that minion. Birchas chasanim basara. Ve'chasanim min a minion. The birchas chasanim is with 10 people also, but the chasanim do count to the minion. Ve'in mezamin al mazim b'shem pachs me'asara. When you're benching, you only use the Shem Hashem in the Zimun if you have a minion. Kivin Dabai Lameimar, Nevarich Lelukenu, Batsim Yasara La Varachara. Again, since you're going to say Nevarich Lelukenu, so it's not respectful to do that with less than a minion, you want to show a significant group of people. Varkarkos Tisha V'Kohen V'Adam Kiyotzebehen, evaluating Karka and evaluating people, you need a minion, but one of them has to be a Kohen. Minanimili, where do we get the requirement of one being a Kohen? Amar Shmuel, Asara Kohanim Ksuvim Beparsha. The word Kohanim or Kohen is mentioned 10 times in the Parsha. So Chad Lugufei, V'idach, one time to tell me that you need a Kohen, and every other time is a Miyot Achar Miyot. It's a double negative to tell you a positive. So it's coming to be Marbe, even people who aren't Kohanim. Vein Miyot Achar Miyot El Rabbo. So it comes to include even people who aren't Kohanim. And therefore you're left with Tishi Yisraelim V'chad Kohen, that 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kohen. Aye, but if it's Miyot Achar Miyot, shouldn't the third time it mentions Kohen start the clock again? Meaning you have Kohen once, that tells you Kohen. Kohen twice tells you Yisrael. Kohen the third time should tell you Kohen. Kohen a fourth time should tell Yisrael. So shouldn't it be Ve'ema Chamisha Kohanim Chamisha Yisraelim? Shouldn't you be left with alternating Kohen and Yisrael? So you should have 5 Kohanim and 5 Yisraelim? Kasha, it's taka good kasha. Why we make the drasha otherwise? Va'adam keyotziben. And when evaluating people, the value of people, we also similarly need 10 people to do the evaluation and 1 kohen. Amongst those 10 people, one of them has to be a kohen. Adam mikadosh. What are you talking about? Evaluating people? Can a person give himself to hegdish? He's just going to give a person to hegdish. Sam raviva ba'omer dami alai. Now there is a way to give one's value to hegdish. When one says erki alai, he's giving his erki. erech to agdish. We don't have to evaluate anything. We just look in the Torah based on his gender and his age. There's a predetermined number that you have to give. When you say dummy a lie, what I'm actually worth, so then we have to evaluate what he's actually worth. Titania Omer, dummy a lie, shaman also kevin. We evaluate him like an eved. The eved is kishle karkos, and an eved is compared to karka. So since an eved is compared to karka, and we know that karka requires a minion of people to do the evaluation, one of them has to be a kohen, the same is going to be true when it comes to evaluating an eved. Tosfos deals with why we don't need 11 if it's a bezin, an ein bezin shakel, so you should have to be mosif orechad, you should have to be 11. But okay, there are a lot of answers to that kasha. We'll stop there, and we'll tonight we're going to do tomorrow's daf, tonight after tomorrow.